It's actually easier than most people think to eat on plan during these holiday events. Let's go!
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go. All right, friends, enter the holiday season where we all come together with our different eating goals and eating preferences and try to make a meal work without feeling guilty. What I'm talking about is entering into Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and everything else we celebrate this time of year. And maybe the anxiety that some people feel, especially if they're following a specific eating style or plan, of showing up to a holiday meal and feeling guilty about not taking part in grandma's cookies or the pecan pie that's there.
This conversation today is all about how to navigate the holidays. And truth be told, it's actually easier than most people think to eat on plan during these holiday events. And just to give a little context around it, so today we just came back from our son's Friendsgiving celebration at their homeschool program. And before we even got there, this is just a few days ago, one of the women that works there comes up to me and she says very sheepishly, "So I know your family doesn't eat anything but meat. So I'm just want to understand, you know, your boys, they only eat meat. And we just want to make sure that we have what you guys need because, you know, we want to be mindful of everybody. And we know your kids don't eat anything but meat." And she just kept repeating that our kids eat nothing but meat. And I said, no. I said, hold on a second. We give our boys the option to eat what they want. We educate them on why we eat mostly meat. But we're more than happy to have other foods and don't do anything special on account of us. Like, we'll be absolutely fine. And, you know, she kept coming back, "Oh, okay, because I'm going to make a vegetable lasagna." And I'm like, that sounds wonderful. You know, I said, maybe the boys will try that. But, you know, we knew that other people were bringing things. And this, though, is a very real situation because maybe you're the person who's on the other side of this. You're the person who's going to the event and you're concerned that, oh my gosh, what if they don't have what I want or what I need? How am I going to get through this particular holiday? But as I was saying before, when we really give it a lot of thought, it's pretty easy to eat around the holidays because the one thing that is always in excess at every holiday meal is food. We have more varieties of food than we would ever have at any certain dinner throughout the week. So meaning we'll have two or three different types of proteins. We'll have two or three different vegetable dishes. We'll have two to three different starchy carbohydrates, right? So there actually is a lot more to choose from. And so that's really what we want to dive into today is, okay, if I'm going to be in that situation, how do I navigate through this particular meal?
Yeah, no, I love that. And she is just the sweetest. I love that woman and how concerned she was for our eating preferences. Now, going to the meal, I think we all experience maybe some level of anxiety if we have a goal that's important to us that time of year. And so as I quickly scanned the list, which was super helpful on this occasion, going to a family's house, you're probably not going to have a list of what's being served. Maybe you do. And I was like, all right, cool. We got turkey, we got ham, we had some good proteins. And there were tons of delicious sides. Again, probably not any that Mike and I were going to be eating that day today. And so I was like, all right, what can I bring that doesn't step on the toes of the protein, but also adds to? And I'm like, oh my gosh, deviled eggs, right? So I made $1 million deviled eggs. They went. I mean, they didn't even last.
They were excellent.
They were grabbing them as they were leaving the gathering. But I think to focus on that protein is so important. And then really what we want to give you is if you're the person attending and you're like, oh my gosh, this person always serves pizza, right? Or they're always serving cornbread and corn, and there's really no other protein that's available. What I love to ask instead of what can I bring is such an interesting question because it makes the host maybe feel like, no, you don't have to bring anything. Like, I want to provide everything. And then you as the goer are like, but I really want to bring something, but now they're telling me not to bring something. So instead of what can I bring, what I love to ask is, hey, is it cool if I bring, or may I bring? right? There's a little bit more power there. So it's just a small little change of words. But if the host is like, no, we have everything covered. What I think you can say, if you do have that goal that's really important to you, like, hey, listen, I'm working on this nutrition plan right now. Like, is it okay if I bring this extra dish? Like, it would really help me out. Of course, no problem, right? Then, like, I think the obligation and the guilt disappears. And maybe this is a more feminine thing than it is a masculine thing, because Mike would probably just show up with some steak, or his buddies are going to have the steak there, right? It's just going to work out in your favor. But I think that that's a really easy way to navigate, making sure that something is at the meal that you're going to be able to participate in just simply by bringing it.
The other thing that you could do here is just pick different friends or family members to go and celebrate.
It's so ridiculous.
Just saying, you know, you saying Mike's friends would probably, yeah, you're probably right. They would have steak because those are the kind of friends that I keep.
That's true.
And so if your friends are the type who eat like you, it makes it a lot easier. But that aside, I know we can't always do that. I like what you said there. Can I bring or may I bring? And, you know, if we stay on that for a second, in this case, your thought process, hey, can I bring deviled eggs? You didn't actually have to ask anybody, but the point being, you knew that you were going to bring something that served us, like our goals and what our family likes to eat. And I think that we all could do that, especially when it comes around appetizers. I mean, with appetizers, nobody ever minds having more appetizers. And so that's an easy place, especially around the holidays, to bring the charcuterie board or to bring, I don't know, shaved steak or something along those lines, where it's not taken as, oh, they're replacing this for what I'm making or what we're eating for dinner, but rather you're adding to, and you have the option during that time of eating the appetizers to fill up on that stuff. And then that makes it so you have almost no choice but to limit your plate when it's time to sit down for dinner.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally exactly what we do. You know, when people and clients are like, you know, how do you guys eat? How do you navigate the holidays? This is how we ensure that there's something we can have and we eat a lot of it. And that's really what we focus on. And the crazy thing is, no one ever leaves Thanksgiving being like, oh my gosh, I ate too much chicken, right? You ate too much stuffing. You had too much pecan pie. It's the things that our brain, we've discussed this in other episodes, allows you to have more or extra of because it's sweet tasting or because it's a carbohydrate. You can easily overeat that. Whereas when it comes to shrimp cocktail, turkey, chicken, it really is hard to overeat that stuff. Your body is going to signal and say, you've had enough.
Well, you know what I always find funny is that during Thanksgiving, everybody who needs to take a nap after eating dinner blames it on the turkey. It must be the tryptophan in the turkey. That's the protein that makes me tired. It's like, it's not that. It is the sugar and insulin crash that you just experienced.
You mean the marshmallows on the sweet potatoes?
I mean, come on now, people. Like, let's be real.
That should have been the title. It's not the tryptophan.
Yeah, it's not the tryptophan. It's like you overate on your candied sweet potatoes.
It's good. That's good. Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. Two other points that I want to bring up here are our fuel sources also. So we've really talked kind of extensively about protein. Let's dive into the carbs and the fats. And here is where I think it's just the easiest place for us to look and go. When it comes to carbohydrates, that's going to be our sugars, our starches, our vegetables. Yes, vegetables are a carbohydrate, by the way, so our fruits. And then, of course, there's our fats. And what we always encourage, right? We're not here to tell anybody what to do. We're just going to encourage, choose a fuel source primarily. And what I mean by that, if you're the person that loves the gravy and the bacon and all like the fatty stuff, you're going to want to limit the amount of desserts and sugary stuff you have, because we filled up on one fuel source being fat. And as soon as we introduce the other fuel source, carbohydrates, our body can't burn both fuel sources at once. Now, if you're the person that's like, but Corey Beth, I need the pumpkin pie and the pecan pie and the sugar cookies, then you're going to want to limit how much fat you have in the meal. So you might not want to go for the ham. Maybe you want to choose the turkey. You might not want to go for the extra bacon or the extra gravy. You might actually want to err towards maybe things that are lower in fat. And so I think that that's just like a great rule of thumb is, hey, which fuel source am I going to choose today? And again, neither is wrong. It really is based on your goal and what you're trying to accomplish. So prioritize that protein and then select which fuel source you're going to participate in. And I think that that's an easier way to get through because, again, the fastest way to gain fat is to load up on carbs and load up on fat. When we are high in both of those categories, our body is forced to store the extra calories as fat, and that's what makes us feel bloated and heavy after a big meal.
I think that the general advice, though, that we can all follow is our plate shouldn't look much different from how we eat most days. Meaning, if you do eat a high percentage of protein, well, then that's what your plate should look like when you sit down for that dinner. If you eat a very low percentage of carbohydrates, then we're not saying don't have any carbohydrates, but the percentage of carbohydrates should match what you would normally have. So say you're the person who only eats 30 to 50 grams of carbohydrates in a day. Well, sure, you can get most of that at that dinner or at that meal. And you can either do it in the form of that really clean carbohydrate that you know you enjoy. And maybe you're the person who could totally go without the desserts, in which case, that's great. Eat those carbohydrates, enjoy them with the rest of your meal. But if you're a person who feels that, you know what, it's just this one time a year, you know, I just want to have a taste. Well, go ahead and have a taste, but now just keep in mind that you want to limit those other carbohydrates that even though they are the healthier portions, you're going to still keep those in reserve. And then just keep your tastes of those desserts to exactly that, a taste. And I'm just going to give a quick example. So we did go to this Friendsgiving gathering and we ate predominantly turkey and ham. But just to be kind, I said to our friend's mother, I'm going to have some of your candied yams. And I literally had like a small spoonful, you know, hardly anything, right? It made her happy to see that I was eating them. And, you know, they were quite tasty. I mean, they were super sweet, but I knew in the big scheme of how I was eating today in general and what my plate looked like at that gathering, I mean, it was almost nothing. I would say that it was less than 4% of what I was eating. So did I get to enjoy that and also look at her and congratulate her on the great candied yams that you made? Absolutely. And it was wonderful. But I didn't walk away feeling bad that I had it or feel like, you know, I need to be slapped on the wrist or now I have to starve myself the rest of the day as a result of it, because it was all put in context. And my only goal going to this gathering was to navigate it.
I love that. I'm gonna mindset you here live just for a moment.
Oh, please.
Did you eat the candied yams because you wanted to make her happy, or did you eat the candied yams because you chose them?
It was a little bit of both. I wanted to, you know what it was, is that because when I saw her and she knows the way that we eat, I wanted to make it a point to say, I'm not being dismissive of you and what you made. Like, look at me, enjoy. I can enjoy what you made. And I did enjoy it. That's the thing. It was a conscious choice on my part.
Okay,
now,
okay.
I could have just as easily not had them and would have been absolutely fine.
But I appreciate you sharing that because I'm like, okay, we have listeners that are like, but my grandmother looks at me and has a tear in her eye that I'm not eating Nonna's cookies, you know? And it's like, that's not the right reason to do that. We don't ever want
Grandma
to be guilted.
Get over it.
She will, you know, she will, you know, it takes some time. I've been there, but okay. I love that you said that. The next thing that I actually want to dive a little bit into, because I feel like that's just such a valuable way to navigate, is alcohol. And this tends to be kind of a touchy subject. You know, but also too, I think that we're in such a cool time right now where mocktails are cool and, you know, athletic beer or non-alcoholic beer. Like there's so many more options today than there ever has been before that it's kind of an exciting place to be. So Mike, I know you did an episode on alcohol. Kind of give us the run through of how to navigate alcohol during the holidays.
All right. So let me start the way that I did that episode, which is just laying out what are the top three problems with alcohol? And the number one problem is that it's just a bunch of empty calories, meaning there is zero nutritional value to it. So whenever you are consuming that bottle of beer, that glass of wine, that vodka, that whiskey, you know, you are consuming calories. And albeit it might not be a tremendous amount of calories in the big scheme of things, the point is that there's no nutritional value there. But then you stack on top of that, the next problem, which is alcohol, well, it lowers our inhibition. And what happens when our inhibition gets suppressed? we are more likely to just eat whatever is in front of us and not care. Whereas right now, you're sitting here sober and you're looking at certain foods in front of you, and you might be saying
hopefully you're sober.
Hopefully. I know a lot of people listen to this in the mornings on their drive to work. So my hope and my prayer is that, yes, you are sober right now. But when you're looking at your food and you're sober, you think about what you're about to do. You think a little bit more about the food that we're putting in our mouth. But in the case of alcohol, I mean, most of us have been there. All of a sudden, you don't care. Like those cheesy fries, they're just there and I want them, even though I would never have them under any other circumstances.
You're describing my early 20s.
So that's the second problem with alcohol. So just imagine this. You show up at your holiday gathering and the first thing that you do is have two glasses of wine. And now the appetizers come out and you have a third glass of wine along with it. And now you're sitting at dinner and you do not care about what you put in your mouth. And as soon as that meal is done, you're moving on to dessert. And you do not care what you're putting in your mouth, but you will care tomorrow. Third problem, your metabolism. So we know that alcohol impairs our metabolism because it's a depressant. It not only lowers our inhibition, but it just slows all of our processes down. And I won't get into all of the detail around this, but we're going to be operating with a lower metabolism for the next days. And in some cases, depending upon how much we drink and how frequently, weeks or months to come. And all of that boiling just out of this one or maybe several meals or gatherings throughout the holiday season where we just go overboard on alcohol in a way that we don't do the remainder of the year.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And what I will say is I think that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different result. And I can't tell you how many Christmases and Thanksgivings I would go and I'm like, I'm going to eat healthy this year, which honestly, it's not the time to choose to eat healthy. You want to start well before the holiday and then practice your habits going into it. It is not the time to make a new habit. It's kind of like me being more carnivore with my eating and then going in and deciding to be vegetarian on Thanksgiving. It's ridiculous. And so I want to encourage you now. Start these habits now, because to go into the holiday and say, okay, this is the time I'm going to eat healthy, it's not going to work. And then for me personally, I'd go in with that thought, you know, I'm going to eat healthy. And then of course, a couple of glasses of wine, a little bit of spiked eggnog, you know, appetizers come. And honestly, by dessert, I'm like, oh, I know if I eat that dessert, it is of course going to taste delicious, but I'm going to have to drive home. I mean, especially when we go from our house down to Mike's house in Long Island, his family's house. It's a big car ride home and my stomach is doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And I can't tell you how many years in the beginning of our relationship, I'm like, I'm not going to have any dessert. I'm like, okay, just a little bit. And I'm not a moderator. So I do have to abstain. It's just what works for me. And so I'd have a little bit and have a little bit more, a little bit more. I mean, disclaimer, your mom makes amazing oatmeal bars. Your sister makes amazing cookies. Like there's no shortage of well-baked desserts. And I had a hard time moderating. And so I would be like, okay, it's going to be better. It's going to be better this year. But it never was, you know? And I'm like, okay, maybe the cookies won't impact me that much because like I eat extra turkey or protein, right? There's all these crazy justifications our mind does in the process of being impaired with alcohol, not making the right decisions and choices. And at the end of the day, I would drive home and my stomach hurt for years. I mean, it was probably like the first 3 years of our relationship. I'm like, why did I do that again? You know, expecting this different result. So my best advice, just based on my own personal experience, is start now. Decide really what you want it to look like and then be intentional about it. If you want to have a glass of wine, have a glass of wine. If you want to have a vodka soda, freaking go for it. But understand what is going to happen once you cross that threshold. You're going to be thinking a little bit differently than you are today now.
I can't agree more with that. And I just want to just back up for a second. You just said one word and I immediately wrote it down. And that is the word taste. And in this moment, I'm going to be speaking to my moderators out there, because for those of you who are abstainers, I mean, if you're abstaining from alcohol, I would never say, go have a taste of alcohol. Because what's going to happen? Well, we know what's going to happen, right? So this is specifically for those of you who though fall into that moderator category. And what I'm going to say is this. I too sometimes want to have a taste of something that I don't typically have. But I think what we have to keep in mind, and this is a really important point, The first taste is always the best. The second taste never matches up. And the fourth, fifth, 10th, you don't even remember what the first one was like. And what I'm saying is this, the moment we have a taste of something, honestly, that's all you need because it doesn't get any better from there. So I am notorious myself for at certain holiday events, if there's a certain food on the table or there's a certain dessert, I will have a taste. I could have that spoonful, that forkful, that bite, and then leave the rest because I know it's not getting any better. But that's because, again, consciously, I know this. I know that psychologically speaking, they've done studies on people where they would measure their degree of satisfaction from the first bite to the 10th. And the first one, their satisfaction levels were off the charts high. And then by the 10th, it was down below. So it never gets any better. And so just keep that in mind that if you are that moderator and you want to have a taste of something, well, just be conscious about having that taste and then moving on.
It's so funny that you said that. I remember a long time ago, we had a trainer, Sarah, at the gym, and she always talked about her grandfather who could literally have one forkful of pie and walk away, or one bite of a cookie and walk away. And to this day, I think that that is so impressive, but that's just not me. And so I would say at the end of the day, know yourself, know the type of behaviors you demonstrate, the type of person that you are, because I think that that's incredibly admirable when Mike can do that. I just know I can't.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Know thyself. And so what we're asking you guys to do right now is to do some self-reflection before you get into this first holiday event and then the ones to follow. Do that self-reflection. Take the time to understand and think about who you are, the way you respond in these circumstances. And then think about how you might want to try to do things differently this year. Because we all have an opportunity to make a change. And instead of fearing these situations, in my view, we should be embracing them because it's an opportunity to just change the trajectory of our lives. Because if we can make that decision now and make one small change, well, guess what? It only gets easier to make changes thereafter.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
Sausage turkey to eat. So good.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.